This recording begins with the current version of the shir, continues on with a quick review of the shir, and then moves on to the last cycle of the Daf Yomi for the previous version of the shir, which of course has different people involved, a different ambience. You may want to hear both of them and use the second one as a chazar. You may actually prefer the previous cycle to this one. Today's Daf is Besechet Avodah Zarah. We're holding on Daf Samach Gimel, and we are in the middle of the sugya of paying for prostitution. But not really in that sugya, because the overall sugya that we're going to get back to is the sugya that began really with the issue of this perek overall, which is in what way exactly do we interrelate ancillary payments to the thing that it is that you're paying for, which is how we got there in the first place. And what we were talking about specifically, which we're going to get back to today, was the minhag in the yeshiva Rabbi Yonai to borrow perot shviyas from aniyim, and then to pay them back during the Shnat HaShminit, which allowed them to get extra usage of their money. So this way the aniyim, who wouldn't have any kind of shvius advantages in the eighth year, now were able to get advantages in the eighth year. And here we were led to the question of why that's not considered to be basically an exchange for the perot shviyat in the first place, which led us to the question of etnan zonah. So over there we had the curious situation, we haven't completed that yet, in which it says over here that paying for sex services afterwards is not considered to be creation of an etnan, which is very strange. That certainly seems to be the definition of etnan. I mean, what would it have to be in order to be considered an etnan? So today, we're going to continue in that sugya. And where we were holding was the question of whether someone pays now a prostitute by offering something in advance, but that thing is going to only become hers when he actually makes use of her services. But he says, but Lamaitz, if you need it, so then you can take it. And that was the question, is that considered to be a kosher carbon? So that was the way in which we understood the Braita, that it would be a kosher karma. And it was talking about, therefore, that it belonged to her, so there was no chashad of beito kadosh, that something that a person brings a carbon has to be his own. It was his own, because because it was always left open as a possibility that she could take it. On the other hand, that since it's not simply a matana bi'alma, because lamaisa, it's meant to become hers in exchange for service. So because of that, it has, at least there's this chiddush that's involved. That's where we're holding. Now the question today on Boy Rav Hoshaya was, and that's, we're holding pretty far down actually. That's about four lines up from the middle of the page. Boy Rav Hoshaya, kadmavig di shatoma. We were talking about a case where she went ahead and brought it as a carbon before completing her end of the deal. And then we said it's not considered to be an etnan in advance. How about if she doesn't bring it as a carbon? She says, magdish it to the Beit HaMikdash. The issue over there is what? Since, kivan diomamar mirato legavoa, kemisirato lehediot, that since, generally speaking, a commitment in where somebody gives something, this is hegdish, it then belongs to hegdish, as if he actually handed it over, so that, and this doesn't mean literally, as the Ritva points out, doesn't mean kemisira necessarily. Things that are not nikda b'misira are also given over to Hegdash. So if you give your house to Hegdash, so then it becomes Hegdash. It's the equivalent of all the kinyanim. Any kinyan that is necessary for that type of thing is as if it was already done when it comes to Hegdash. So since over here she was magdashit, so now it would be equivalent kamanda akrivate dami. And at that point, it cannot get a chalot of etnan limafreya, because it's now considered to be in the hands of Hegdash. O dilma hashta miyah koi v'ita b'enin. Or is the point that since the animal that was used to buy sex services is here, so therefore it becomes, in fact, it's here now. The case of Rabbi Yonai, we're talking about the perot shvita no longer around, so we don't see it as an exchange. The case of the etnan that we said before, she already brought it as a carbon. But over here, it's the fact that its extent had been identified before as that which would stand now for payment to this house of prostitution. And now, just because it technically may belong to Hegdash, but now we should still say maybe it's Chalam Afreya, because the deal was from then, So it's extant. Says Gemara, well, isn't that the whole point that Rebbe Eliezer was making? I mean, Rebbe Eliezer said. Why do you think he said, Kagot Shekadma V'Krivata? He could have said an easier thing. He should have said, Shekadma V'Gdashta. So obviously the point was that it shouldn't be extant at the moment that it could become an etanan. So V'Tiv Shabin Rebbe Eliezer, why don't you see that that's precisely what it is that he was saying? Yomar Rabbi Eliezer, the only case where it makes sense that it would have this din of heter wouldn't be chal on it l'mafreya, where she became before now offering him, or before consummating her services, she went and was makrivit. Dafka, hikrivato. He took that case specifically. If it would only have been hikdishato, it wouldn't have been enough. Lo, I mean, it's clear. Otherwise, why would he take on such an extreme case? No, you don't understand. That's what I'm asking. I'm asking whether the reason that Rebbe Eliezer took on this particular extreme case was because he wanted to avoid the issue, not knowing what the din was himself, or because he knew the issue, and that's why he said this case. I'm asking. Is it because Rebbe Eliezer actually knows that that's halacha? It's only the case of Ikrivato Dafka, but had she been Magdisha, then the very fact that the animal is still around allows something which was meant to be called it Lemafreya, to redefine it Lemafreya, despite the fact that now it's in the Rishut of Hegdesh. Oh, Dilma, I'm saying what I know. Ikrivato Pshitale. That's a given, so I'll take that case. What the din would have been of Ikdishato, I'm not sure. So maybe he left it open. That's what I want to know. Ikdishato is Misapkala. Indeed, Teku, let that question stand. Now, we continued on. Remember we had that strange brayta that said, well, if you gave her the etnan but never had sex with her, or if you had sex with her but never gave her the etnan, which made no sense. I mean, neither case made any sense. So we explained that the case was, didn't mean you didn't give her the etnan, it meant you paid later. So that implied that if you don't pay at the door, and it's not a no tiki, no lani kind of thing, that then it is no problem of etnan, which is not true. Ask the Gemara, therefore, today, you claim that Baalei Avecharkach Natan La Etnena Mutar? Well, that's not true. V'ramini, Baalei Avecharkach Natan La Afilu Mikan Va'at Shalosh Shanim Etnena. I don't care how many years later you pay. It's always considered to be an etnan. Now, how do you square that with the bride? That just doesn't seem to make any sense at all. Omer Reb Nachum by Yitzchak, Omer Reb Chista, that's not really a problem. Lo kasha. It depends what the deal is. How the Omer Hitba'ali li bitlezer. Where he specifies, I'm going to pay you with this tle. You like it? Beautiful. There you go. Vahadi Omer Hitba'ali bitle. Or the other case is that he didn't mention a particular tle, in which case there's no yichud now of whatever shibud would have been chal on this tle. What's and if he said tlezeh, what's the difference? I mean, if you're telling me that lemaiset isn't the payment per se, that's the issue. That's what you're saying. So if you're right. You don't have to pay. However, if it became at the time of the exchange, the etnan, then even though she actually gets it later, that's when it's us. Well, who heard of such a thing? Well, because you define it, this is what I will pay you. So mamela, if I pay you 3 years later, it's an etnan. But if you didn't define it, and you just pay her, then it's not an etnan. That implies there was some kinyan that she had in advance. There's no kinyan in advance. Just because you say, I'm going to give you this, doesn't mean that it's hers in any way. There's no mishicha. If there's no mishicha, there's no kinyan. If there's no kinyan, there's no etnan. Now, either you hold that paying later creates etnan, or you don't. Don't give me this sophistry that would be. You called it an etnan. There's no such din. This is a typical kinyan. It's not some type of moralistic issue. Did you pay or didn't you pay? Does she own this or does she not own this? I don't understand what you're saying. Chisron b'shicha is that there's no kinyan. Now the question over here, of course, is that really true? Because of me'ikar hadin. I mean, this is a machlokas Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Whether me'ikar hadin ma'ota konot, it's just that the rabbanon where it goes in a mishicha should be gone in order that people shouldn't come to say, nisufuchitecha ba'aliyah. So somebody who has now, I pay you money. You haven't now expedited delivery. So fulfillment's on you. Okay, so there's a fire in the warehouse. So you figure to yourself, well, I'm going to pay extra to put out the fire. It's his stuff anyway. So in order to avoid that type of situation, the Chachamim, in order to create a guarantee of delivery, said that you need to actually deliver before you're considered to have legitimately received this money. Otherwise, you can get his money back. It's takana b'alma. If it's a takana b'alma, then I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. Then there shouldn't be a question. I mean, if you're talking about the Ikar Adina Etnan, then if you told her this is for you, and then you did have sex with her, that's the equivalent of the exchange. That's money. So Rashi indeed learns that this is only, this is how the Ritva understands the issue in Rashi, that the, we're only asking now, Aliba Deresh Lakish, who darshans this from a pasuk, Okne Miyad Amita, because that has to be something which comes Miyad Liyad, which is the remez that it must be Mashiach, and Ma'ot alone is not Kona. According to Rabbi Yochanan, then we're going to have to find another solution. We'll see. So ask the Gemara. So what's the difference if you say betleze? It's still bechusar mishicha. Well, it's talking about over here that the whore herself isn't Jewish. So if that's the case, and avodat kocha, avedet kocha din, is not kona b'mishicha. So if that's the case, if you say tleze, so then einachinami, you say tleze, and then it's hers. Or we could say maybe it's talking actually about a Jewish prostitute. Leolam bezona yisraelit. But it could be talking about a case where it was already in her chatzar. So therefore, if it's already in her chatzar, so there's a kinyan. What do you mean, there's a kinyan? So that's, of course it's a kinyan, so then you're not talking about the case that you said. The case that was given was you pay her later. You're trying to give me a case where you pay her later. And you say that that's where it says if you pay her later, that it's still considered to be an etnan. Now you're telling me, no, actually you paid her up front. So then that's not the case we're looking for. We're trying to find the case where we could square the words of the Braita that say if you pay later, it's not an etnan, with the words here in Tamura that if you pay her later, it is an etnan. So you told me, yeah, well, the case where you pay her later, that it is an etnan, is where you paid her in advance. That makes a lot of sense. It was already in her chutz. So, idekoy bechatzera, I understand, you call that the case of, quote, bo'aleh v'charkach natana, you already put it in her yard. A kanyala, so it's hers. That's not a good example of the din you're trying to explain to me. Ah, you forgot. You forgot the biblical etnan. The best one of all. The one that everybody knows about. It wasn't just a tleh that I'm paying you with. I'm giving you the tleh as a simen that I will pay you and so on. Over here, you gave the tleh itself, not just your tchotamcha, your ptilcha, and so on. The tleh became now the actual commitment to pay. You hold on to my tleh. This sounds like sort of a tikkun for that whole yodamizer. You hold on to the tleh, then I'll pay you back with my chotam. So he makes it an apotika. He says, look, if I bring you the cash, let's say, over the course of the next 30 days, you know, so you give me credit. You don't trust me. Okay, so here's the tleh. So if I don't come and pay up, so then you can keep this. Okay? Collateral. So if that's the case, so now it becomes, technically speaking, it's indeed it didn't become hers until later. Okay, so then there's obviously a difference between where she was given it at the time in this context and where she b'chlal wasn't given it at the time. So there was no yichud at all of anything. And obviously we could have said that it's both of them. And that was the original idea that there's a difference between tlezeh and tlezstam. Lechora wasn't needed. Because if we're going to anyway need to be mechalik between koi b'chatzera or not koi b'chatzera, what do we have to make that distinction for? Ask Tosfos. I mean, that's a simple distinction. Go back to the original case. Don't start talking about tlezeh or tlezstam. It's the same. The nafkamina is whether it was b'chatzera or not b'chatzera. So Tosfos says because we're trying to say a bigger chiddush. Even if the commitment was to a tleh, let's say that she is his shepherdess. She has all of his tleim in her rishos. She is a dual employee.
It's a day job.
That's her day job. This is her night job. But the idea over here is that he has a tleh in her rishos. And afal pikin, that is not called an etnan at all.
in that case.
It wouldn't be included in the discussion of these braita, because since it was not mevurar, that this is the etnan, so then it has no din of etnan. You give it to her afterwards. It's like you picked it out of nowhere. There's no specific relationship between this animal and the sexual services. That's the point over here. I need to see this animal in some way as being related to a physical event. Otherwise, it's just paying a debt. What is paying a debt? What do I care what the debt is for? No, then if he gives it to the later, there's nothing to discuss. I mean, so then you're paying a debt. Who cares what you pay a debt with? We're trying to find a case where it is an etnan, right? And nonetheless, it was only given to her later. We're trying to figure out how that case was. Tleisus is bothered by why make the distinction between tleze and tlesna. Make the distinction between chutzra and not chutzra. Says Tleisus, because the chiddush is that even if she had it bechatzira, without saying tleze, there would be no din of etnan. Because the idea of etnan over here, that is the Gemara is clarifying, is that there is something in this animal that specifically relates to the sexual services. Not that it was anything you used to pay for something. Who ever heard of such a thing? You create a debt by some kind of a murder contract. Having sex with your mother. Whatever it is, who cares what you pay with? There's nothing in the money that relates to the event. Where the Torah is asering etnan is specifically where it's an exchange. So what makes it an exchange? Well, the thing that makes it an exchange is the yichud. You like the tleh, I like you. There we go. So then you could say tlezeh. Okay? Makes beautiful sense. Masiv Rav Sheshi. So now getting back, we're popping out now to the sugya that was on the second level popped down. We initially were talking about the way in which services relate to the thing that you're servicing. We had this issue by Yayin Nesach, we had the Knas, we had the something that was unique about Avodah Zorah or common carriers with a Chachomer were Kenes, even though it's not a direct exchange. That led us to Etnan. Now you can understand more deeply what in the world led anybody to say, and the same thing by an Etnan would be moot. That's the point. This is the only case where the Torah views the exchange for services is becoming us. That is never an issue anywhere else. That's why the Gemara is driven to compare the whole issue of here of Avodah Zorah with the services in which I carry your barrels of Avodah Zorah now should become. Whoever heard of such a thing? That's also crazy. What do I care what I'm paying the guy for? How is that viewed as an exchange of Avodah Zorah? And of course, Avodah Zorah and sex always go together. So here's the only other place where you find such a concept. Here it's the Oraita and it's Nogea. The Beis HaMikdash and only the Beis HaMikdash. We know there's differences, and Nevad is also, if it's a Baal Chai, it's Nogei, the Beis HaMikdash and only the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. But it's a beautiful comparison that is fundamental to understanding these types of relationships. So it's fantastic. But it was a pop down, remember. So we went from, if you recall the strange way that this happened, we went from the Mishnah trying to understand the difference between Arla and Kaloya Karen, got into the question of how this would be Nogei Shmita. Then we got into a lower level discussion of the differences between common carriers and other people and so on. And then we compared it to the Etnan. Having compared it to the Etnan, we popped down an additional level to discuss the what appeared to be a non sequitur as far as we're concerned, a tangential discussion about whether an Etnan would need to be paid at the time of services or not. Now we're popping back up into the previous sugya. The previous sugya was the Rabbi Yonai business about Shmita, which was also a pop-down for the original sugya that opened up with Avodas Kochavi. So now we're back in the Shemitah issue. So now Masiv Rav Sheshi, back to Rabbi Yonai's yeshiva. Omer Adam lechamarav lepoalav. Here again, not coincidentally, we're talking about carriers, workers. All right, so now over here what's very common in these circumstances is that you provide lunch. Now, suppose you provide lunch by giving cash. Do you have to be concerned that they're going to buy non-kosher food? Let's say this guy is an Amoritz. Say he's going to use this to buy maybe non-meiser, demai. We'll use it to buy pair of shmita. You're not allowed to give the pairs of shmita into the hands of an Amoritz, etc., etc. Is this your business, or are you out of the picture the moment you hand over your cash? So if you give a guy a dinner, You can say, Omer Adam l'chamarav l'pav, l'chu v'ichlu b'dinar zu. You can go eat whatever you want up to the value of this money here. So go out u'shtu b'dinar zu. V'eino choshesh, he does not have to worry about their going out and buying shvias. It's also to give them a pair of shvias. I'm not giving them a pair of shvias, I'm giving them money. It's certainly not my responsibility to sit here wondering what people are going to do with my money. If I paid him a salary and he wants to use the money with it, it's irrelevant.
And it doesn't make a difference whether you're more likely to get the meals with pair of spheres than...
No, it's not, I'm out of the picture. Yeah. Lo mishum meiser, lo mishum yayin nesach. I don't have to worry about this. Now, imam arlem zuvich lo vani porea. However, if you tell them, okay, you can go buy what you want, and you don't have to worry about a thing, I will pay the money for it. Then, or tzuvishtivani porea, then you do have to worry. Choshesh mishum shviyit mishum maaser umishum yayin nesach. Why? The only way I can understand this, is the Gemara, the only way I can understand it is that it runs counter to what Rabbi Yonai did yesterday. Because what's the Gemara saying, says Rav Sheshes? That even though they already ate up this perishvias, the fact that you are now going to pay for that perishvias means that basically this money is an exchange for pears that don't exist. But that's what they did. They took perishvias, paid it back a year later in shvias, and they said, well, but since at that point the pears were already gone, I'm not paying for perishvias. Well, over here you were paying for perishvias. So why was Rabbi Yonai allowed to do this kind of shtick? I mean, it's all very nice that he wanted to get money for aniyim, but there's no answer for it. He is using Dmei Isser, basically. He's giving them to eat Perishvias now, in the eighth year. How can he do that? It's an exchange. In exactly the same way that this money that I'm paying up, maybe I'll pay it up a year later after they already ate it. That's exactly what Rabbi Yonai was doing. Here it says it's Osser. So why over there was it Mutter? Seems to be a good question. Dear Gemara, Rav Chista, Rav Chista says, well, this has got to be talking about a case where he says to them, buy the stuff in my makola, where I have an account. So if you buy it in a makolet over there, it's a chenvri amekifo. He has a credit line in this store. And then, mishnabedle. Because ekivan du'urche lo kufi kanalei dinagabe. In that case, since it's his derech to pay this account back, and the chenvri relies on this, and this is the arrangement, so then it's as if he's paying it up already. So that creates a shibur on him. So mamel over there, you can't say, well, he's presented with a bill afterwards, doesn't matter what created the bill. That's not true. So the dinner was actually kainet. What are you saying? What are you trying to tell me, says Rav Shish? That if this was a chenveni, then where he didn't have an account, then it was mut. So then, I mean, then you could have said that. You could have just said, a man can tell his po'alim that they can buy money in such, they can buy things in such a store that he'll pay. Not that you give them the money in advance. That's obvious. Tell me a better kiddush. Tell me. It depends. You can't tell them to buy in your makolet, but you can tell them to buy in another makolet and you'll go in and pay up the bill. So why didn't it do that? Obviously, because it isn't true. It has nothing to do with whether the guy generally is makif or not. So the case over here is, now what? Chenveni sheinu makif or mai? What are you telling me? You're telling me mutar. So then, anyachi, explain to me why the braita is set up in such a crazy way. Adatani, let's contrast two cases. Suvich lu b'dinar zeh, where you already give them the money. Suvich lu b'dinar zeh, give them the money. And you make that the difference. You could add two cases exactly the same. You could tell your parolin to go in a store, but not if you have an account. Perfect. So liflog velitnei bedida. Just say, tell your parolin, go into the store and I'll pay up. Bameh devar mamurim. When would I say it's also do it the other way around? Start what you can't do. But a chenveni shein makifo is mutter, then everything will be great, right? Besides which, it isn't even true what you're saying. It simply isn't true. If, in fact, it's talking about a store, then the difference in having an account or not having an account is irrelevant. How do I know it's irrelevant? Because milo mishta'abed. In a case where a storekeeper is told to give something to so-and-so and you will pay, there is a shibud on you. That's a classic case. That's the case of Rava, who brilliantly, if you recall, we went through all of these various cases where Rava brings different rias at the end of the sugya to what the implications are of various dinim. One of the implications was that if you tell a guy, a friend of yours, Omer l'chaviro, tain mona l'ploni, you give so-and-so $100, and I will, because of that, give you all of my nechas. He's kona. How do I know that? din arev. If the Torah allows a relationship called a guarantor, where the guarantor, and this everybody agrees, if the guarantor tells the person to give, and the guy says, I'm giving it only on the basis of your commitment to pay me back, I don't care about this guy, then the very fact that he goes out and gives the money on that basis is meshabe the guarantor. Now, this is a classic example of Rav's din. You walk into a store, you're a rich guy. You tell the storekeeper, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. You never had an account there before. The storekeeper gives it to you, he has a shimut against you. Based on this din of arev. But that's what you're doing, you're a guarantor. In this case, not for a loan, but it's the same halacha. So therefore, this cannot be the answer. Says Rava, you're darn right it can't. You think somebody remembered the halacha around you. Elama Rava, loshna mekifo, loshna sheina mekifo. It actually is irrelevant whether he has an account, he doesn't have an account. The point over here is that even though afagav de mishabed le, kivan de lo miyachet shibude lo mitzar, the case is not going to create any kind of isurin at all. Because in order for it to be viewed as an exchange, you need more than a shibud. The shibud is the same thing as the payment to the prostitution house that we had before. What's the difference? Whatever I'm paying has no connection to the things that were given. It's certainly not an exchange, a shibud. You would have to be miyached the shibud in order for it to be an exchange. I'll give you this in exchange for that. Then it becomes a barter. But if there's no direct definition, there's this. So kiven de lo miyached shibude, because of the fact that the shibud is a general financial instrument, it doesn't have any concrete reality. It's just a way of getting your money. This is the difference between making something an apotiki versus a general mortgage. An apotiki mortgage is an actual shibud on an item, like a mechanic's lien, as it didn't have an apotiki against the car that he's working on. That's something else. There you're miyached the shibud. But over here, what's the difference? Why don't care if he's makif, not makif, it's always going to be the din of arev that's going to be b'chayim. And it's just money that you owe. That's all that it is. It's an abstraction. Get on the computer and you'll get the money out of his bank account. Now, where's the item that is going to be also? There's no items. So therefore, there can't be a chiyiv. The case that is given over years, I mean, so what would be the case where you do have to worry? I mean, it did say that, but if he tells them, ani porea, that it's us, or now you're telling me it's not us. So now what's the case that it is us? I don't understand. Elahacha, abai choshesh mishum shvias. And why? If what you're saying is true, halomiyachet shibude, if you didn't defy anything, then it wouldn't be viewed as an exchange for the shmita anyway. Hachamer, papa, kegonch igdim lo dinar. It's not talking about over here that he just says, I'll pay up. He does pay up in advance. So he goes to the store and he says, look, I want to open an account. You don't know me. Here's $100. Keep this $100 and let them draw down on it. So fine. So then if they're drawing down on it, so obviously it's an exact exchange. The money is there now and they're taking connected his money. So then of course, it's like he bought it and he's giving it to them. Omer of Kana. Yeah, because he paid up in advance. Omer of Kana, Rito Shmaita, Kamehda Rizvim, and I said over that shot. And he said to me, I mean, it's all very nice, but it's not what it says. It says, Tzu'uvichlu, Tzu'uvishitu, Vani Porea. What do you mean, Ani Porea? Ani Porea means, and then I'll take out my wallet and pay. The way you're understanding it is, I'll deduct whatever it is that you took. It should say Ani Mechashev. It shouldn't say Ani Porea, because I already paid. So Adahachi, Adatonet Tzu'uvichlu, Tzu'uvishitu, Vani Porea. Is that the way you phrase it? Tzu'uvichlu, Tzu'uvishitu, Vani Mechashev, me boyle. It ought to say, it's a question of I'll work it out with him, is what you should say. Not I'll pay him, because you did pay him. Amalei, okay, fine, if that really bothers you, so then read it that way, because that's what it means. By working it out with him, I'm paying him. Tanit, Tz'uv, Ani Mechashev. Ravashi says, Ritva says, Ravashi not really chaylik. Ravashi is ready to go. There's no reason for us to make this into a machloket. But it's also not necessarily what happened in this particular case. I mean, it could be talking about Kagon Shanatavanatan Biyad, Miyad. Biado, in other words, that he actually is the one that is giving them the schorah. And here again, the Ritva says it doesn't mean literally. I mean, if it's not tavan atam beyond, it's not literal, it's no chiddush at all. I mean, what do you mean? Then you bought it, then you give it to him. But in other words, it means that he's the one that's meyached the stuff. He's okay, let me have some of that, let me have some of that, let them eat that. Exactly. So then that's the equivalent of not tavan atam beyond. And that, of course, you'd have to be chashish for. And again, if that's the case, Amalei Rabbi Emilor Vashi, then that's not the way, that's not what you said. You said, why does it say, Adatani, Tzuvichlu, Tzuvishtu? It should say, Tzuvichlu, take this and eat it. Take that and eat it. I mean, whatever you're talking about, it's not their business anymore. You make it sound like they can go to the store, and then they'll take what they want, and I'll take care of it. Whereas over here, he's saying, okay, you can each have a bowl of cereal, or whatever it is. I mean, he's already been defining it. I'm like, okay, fine. So that's what it means. See, Tzuvichlu, Tzuvishtu. Because then it's be'etzim, it's as if he bought it.
Yeah.
Well, even not, or it doesn't matter. I mean, if a guy believes him, one way or the other, it's the same. Because now I'm basically committed to you. I've given the food to you. Not that we'll consider what it is afterwards when it's taken.
Oh, in other words, it's like the Litvaniver problem, nothing to do with the money.
Oh, now you're getting onto a slippery slope. Now this is actually Tosis's problem with the entire way that we just explained the daf. The entire way we just explained the daf has a very serious problem. It's Rashi's approach. But as Tosis says, it's crazy. Because it's all based on ignoring the fact that we put together Yayin Nesach, Meiser, and Shvius. And when it comes to, all of a sudden, when it comes to Shvius, now it's all questioned. Shvius is Tefis, is Dama, is this considered big? And what about Meiser? It's not Tefis, it's Dama. I mean, so obviously the issue over there is something that has to do with Maris Ayin, that I'm giving it to my Poland, it looks like I'm using Meiser to bring them up. I mean, so then that could be what it is with Shvius. What does this have to do with the Veirabiana? Absolutely nothing. Therefore, Tefis has to go through an entirely different approach. Don't get onto that issue unless you want to be here all night. The big Tefis, and we can do it. Okay, but so this was Rashi's approach. Yosef Reb Nachman Ve'ula Ve'avimi Bar Papi. There was Reb Nachman Ula Avimi Bar Papi sitting down, and Reb Chiya Bar Ami was sitting there with them. Reb Chiya Bar Ami Gabayu. And they had some questions. The first thing that they were discussing was V'yatva V'kami Boilu. What would be if a guy was hired to break barrels of Yayin Esach and destroy them? So now, obviously, he's very happy for the Yayin Esach to be here because he's making $100 a barrel. But I mean, it's not really the kiyum of the Yayin Esach per se. I mean, he doesn't want it to be used as Yayin Esach. He wants it to be around just long enough for him to shoot. No, please don't let anybody else kill him, please. I want to kill him. So, I mean, is that considered to be that it's the equivalent of rotsa b'kiyumok? I mean, because technically speaking, you want this wine to survive long enough for you to be the guy that swings the axe. So, I mean, if we're answering already asik with the INS, I mean, this is asik with the INS because you want this INS. So, charo lishbor b'yayin esek ma'o. Mi amrina, ki vandero tsebi ki yumo. Do we say, since ultimately he wants this wine, the barrel, to survive long enough for him to max it, so it should be awesome. Al dilma, kol lema ute tifla, shaper dami. Or do we say that anything that comes to be mamayat, the presence of this sickening stuff, that's okay. That's not about kiyum. I mean, it's ultimately the whole idea is its destruction. The temporary fact that I want to be the one is not really an issue. Reb Nachman, I say, let him bust them all, yishbor v'tavo alav bracha. We'll even give him a little reward of a bracha for each barrel that he busts.
Plus the money.
Lema misayale. Let us see whether he can bring a riot. Because we do have a very interesting, similar case in which normally we would say that we're not going to be able to find another case. Why is that? Because it was only by Avodah Zorah that we had this special takana, that the very fact that something is coming out of the existence of Avodah Kochavim was this new Gezerah. We don't have another example of that. Interestingly enough, we do. The one other example we have of that is Rabbi Akiva's Shita when it comes to Kilayim. According to Rabbi Akiva, he learns from the Pasuk, from the strange way the Pasuk puts together, Kilayim, 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 Bem Tchalot, Tarbiyah Kilayim, Sat Tchalot, Yisrael Kilayim, and so on, that what the Torah is essentially saying is, Kilayim, no, Kilayim, no, Kilayim, no! So if Kilayim, no, that means you can't even be Mekayim Kilayim. So that's very similar, because over here it's really the same thing. And it translates into halacha lemaisa, because according to Rabbi Akiva, suppose somebody hires you to build a fence around his field. Now, in fact, his field is planted kelayim. So normally would say, well, it's not your business what's planted in the field. For heaven's sakes, you're building a fence. But since, because of Rabbi Akiva's drosha, no kelayim, then that no kelayim would apply to you. So you'd be chayim malchus for building a fence. That's the only time that you're being mekayim it. You're being shamer it. So here is amazing. We've managed to figure out a case where we can actually test the theory of Reb Nachman. As long as it's in order to destroy the tifla, tavol of bracha. So indeed, the Gemara says, okay, let's see. I think we can actually bring a riot. You can't actually now hoe the field, dig the furrows with a goy who's involved now with kilayim, but okrinimo, you can be paid in order to uproot the kilayim, even though you'd like it to be there until such time as you tear it out, kidei lemeute et tifla, in order to destroy now all of the disgusting things that have resulted from this avera. Now, obviously, this is only a raya like Rabbi Akiva. This is Rabbi Akiva Shita. Is no kilayim, no kilayim, no kilayim. So this is, but we thought this must be Rabbi Akiva. We'll see why. So Savrua Amani Rabbi Akiva. This got to be going Alibit Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the very Mekayim Bikilayim itself would be Loke. And therefore, it is a valid comparison to the case that we have over here with the Kiyim of the Yayin Esech would be awesome. Ditanya Amina Kesh Vamichape Bikilayim Loke. So the Tanakhama says, well, you're only going to be Chayim Malkus if you actually work on the Kilayim itself. Rabbi Akiva says, no, afa mekayim, if you do anything at all, which is mekayim the kilayim, build a fence, that's also considered to be working in an indirect way, because you're right to be kiyuma. And where do you get this from? My time at Rabbi Akiva. Because he says, look, it says, be'emtecha lo tarbiya kilayim, sotcha lo tizraya kilayim, begit kilayim, shadiz oliyala alecha. So he learns, bottom line is, lo kilayim. You got that? Okay. So if no kilayim, so then it means no kilayim. See to it that there's no kilayim. You can't be involved now in protecting kilayim. And yet, despite the fact that Rabbi Akiva holds that, he's allowing you. What was there about that you didn't understand? I said no. Okay. I mean, that's really this is the diak in this sugya. It's very cute, and I really like it. Like, normally the Gemara sticks in, not lo kilayim. Talmud Lomer lo kilayim. This is the only place that it says that. Normally it goes to back. Behemtecha satcha lo, uses the kilayim before. Behemtecha lo sarbiya kilayim. It says the Gemara, oh, so kilayim satcha lo. It's not the fact that the pasuk is set up as a repetitive, no kilayim here, no kilayim there, no kilayim anywhere, but just the fact that we put the words before together with this one. Over here, for some reason, it doesn't say that drasha. It could be that it really is another drasha. It could be it's a bad gersa, but anyway, that's cute. You know? Lo kilayim. It's the only time you find using it the way you would use it in English. No kilayim. You know, normally the Americans, they come in, you know, lo ishun. That's the way they were just no smoking. And so, lo la ashen sounds very roundabout. So here too, the words that's the lo. So in any event, he's being matur to be mamayat the tifla, which is exactly what I was saying. Says Reb Nachman, you be mamayat the tifla over there. Even though you were right to be kiyuma, it's mamish this case. Says the Gemara, who says it's Rabbi Akiva? Maybe it's going a libid rabbana. So you're saying I say lo, money rabbana. If it goes a libid rabbana, so that's why. But if it would have been Rabbi Akiva, maybe he never would have been mamatir you to be working to destroy the kilayim, because then you'd be right to be kilayim until you actually get around to destroying it. No, my man. Then the whole thing doesn't make sense. The Braita is saying that the Chachamim, over here we're talking about, we're being matir according to Chachamim, Akira. Why do we have to be matir the Akira? According to Rabbani, you can even build a fence. It's absurd to say a little bit of the Akira. So then I feel kiyuma nami shaper dami. I mean, for heaven's sakes, it's a goy. It's not as if it's some sayel, the goy doesn't have a mitzvah kilayim. So that's not the chashash. So what's in my business? What's in his field? What, I can't build a fence? If it's saying you're only allowed over here to do akira, it's clear that you're not allowed to build a fence. There's only one sheet that holds that, and that's Rabbi Akiva. No, maybe not. Maybe the issue over here is not the issue of kilayim. The issue over here is whether you're allowed to do favors to a guy. Maybe you're not being paid. Maybe the guy says, hey, would you help me tear out all of this stuff? So normally you're not allowed to do favors. Because lo techane, lo titen la matnat chinam. You should only work in exchange for money. But in this case, since you're being eiker kilayim, so maybe that's what we're being matzah. Since we're being matzah, anything to do with kilayim. In which case, it has nothing to do with the machlokes of Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanit. We'll be going and leaving the Rabbanit. Ah. So then you don't have any riot to Rabbi Nachman. So maybe it's talking about over here. So maybe a completely different mechanism is at work over here. And this was a totally wrong experiment. You had all the wrong, you were reading the whole thing wrong. It's a different reaction. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that litein matat chinam is asur. Says, you know what? I don't care who it is. It really makes no difference to me. Because the bottom line is, that would also be a riot. Let's say you're right even, okay? So, min Rabbi Yehuda nishmal Rabbi Akiva. I mean, did Rabbi Yehuda say it's also litein matat chinam? Yeah. But to be memayat the tifla is mutter. Why is it mutter? Is it because we don't look at the act, we look at what the accomplishment of the act is, and therefore it's not looked as something that I'm doing as the chinam for the goy. I'm being eiker kilayim. That's exactly what Rav Nachman was saying. I'm saying it's irrelevant what's involved in the act. What's relevant is the final impact, that it's la'akor l'tifla. So Rabbi Yehuda is ma'atir la'akor l'tifla. Then so would Rabbi Akiva. I mean, it boils down to the same issue. Did he not say, la'vamah Rabbi Yehuda asur li'tei matnat chinam, and nonetheless, l'mutei tifla shapir dami? No. So Rabbi Akiva nami. Yet if Rabbi Akiva said, I'm a kind of kalayim loike, then l'mutei tifla would also be shapir dami. I mean, stop driving me crazy already. But if it's still not meaning, I mean, it's so clear, really. Let's not get overly wrapped up in this. You're becoming obsessive.
Why is it on the
main Kadamavi gdishato mao. Kivin yamamami ratola gavaka misiratola idiot kamanda krivate dami. Odioma hashtamia, koivi to be enum. I understand. Tiv Shomer Rabbi Eliezer himself. The Omer Rabbi Eliezer, Shikamavi krivato. Obviously, it's Dafki krivato, but gdishato wouldn't have been enough. Yes, but the Rabbi Eliezer goofy come boile. My. Did he know this? And Mifshep Shitelev said that it's only a krivato Dafka. Avalik Dishato indeed would have not been mutter because ite bishadviya. Oduma hikrivato pshita laik dishato. He himself was misapkale. Take. Boalea vachakach natanla etnana mutar. Veramini. Boalea vachakach patanla filmikana chaloshananim etnana asur. Or Rabbi Yitzchak, it's not a problem. Oh, the Omar hitbaali libitleze. Oh, the Omar la hitbaali bitlestam. I don't care. It's still Mekutzer Meshicha. Ah, but it's talking about a Zona Avodat Kochavim. The Lokanya ben Meshicha. That's the point. Vibaydema. Leolam bezona Yisraelit. It's talking about that it's Koy Bechatzera. And therefore, the moment that it becomes now the Etnan, it becomes Asur. By the way, you see from here that a Goy is also possible. The Etnan of a Goy is possible. Says the Gemara, Ida koi bechatzera, you call that ba'ala v'chakach natanla, I mean, arkanyala right up front. Nah, l'tzricha deshavya ni'ala apotiki di'amala, imaitina lech zuzi mikanad yomploni mutavi lo shakle betanan eich. Motiv Rav Sheshet, omer adam l'chamara v'l'pa'alav l'chu v'ichlu b'dinar zeh, tzu'ushtu b'dinar zeh v'inoch hashish lo mishum shevi'it v'lo mishum ma'aser v'lo mishum yayin desach v'im omar lehem. Then so you see that kikapara de meyisur kapara. So how could Rabbi Yana get away with this? Hachanami kikapara de meyisur kapara when they pay the aniyim back in the eighth year. Tir gemara of chista that it's talking about over here bechenvani hamekifo. Where over there is mishtabed like since it's urchelu kufe. Mamela konile dinar gabe. Avolchen v'nishen mekifo my mutar. So then explain to me, Yachiatatani, tu'uvichlu b'dinar zeh, tu'ushtu b'dinar zeh. Is that the way to make the cases with such an extreme difference? Liflag v'liti, but he'd done exactly the same case. And the only nafkamina is whether you have a charge account. Not to mention the fact that the whole thing is up to Greek because it's not even true. La halacha, ken v'ni shein mekifo, you're telling me he's not mishtabed. Omar Rav, Omar Lachavero, tein money leploni v'iklu konech asay lecha, kana, how do I know that? Midin orev. El Omar Rav, really, it couldn't matter in the least. Lo shalom akifo, lo shalom akifo. And it wouldn't matter if he's mishubit for him for the heck, if mishubit for him for the din of the orev. Bottom line is, kivit elo miyachet shibude, there's no exchange, and therefore it's not usher in the money. No, so then my question is, honestly, you just pulled the rug out from under us. Alomiyachet shibune. Ah, hocham rif papa. Kagon shiktim lo dinar. Hamrif kanam rita lishmaita ta kameda rizvi min arda, who pointed out the obvious problem. Miyachi adatani tzu vichlu, tzu shtu vani porea. It should have said tzu vichlu, tzu shtu vani mechashev mi boile. I'll work it out. I'll deduct it. I mean, what does that talk like, porea, if it's paid up in advance? I mean, if he's not of anatan biyad, so then it would be exactly the same iser. It's already coming directly from him. But then you got the problem with the language. It should have said tluvichlu tluvishtu mi boile. Okay, fine. So tni tluvichlu tluvishtu. Yotim remnakma v'yulav avimi parpov v'yesu rukhiya barami gabayo v'yatvi. V'kami boile. What would be the din of sechara lishbor b'ra'inas? Mao. Mi'am nina kima derot sebeki umo asur. Or do sense, the bottom line is that the impact here is for the purpose of lam'ute tifla. Who'll be sharper dami? Amram Nachman, I say, let him keep axing them all with avor lav bracha. Le'imim b'seye, ale. In odrimim ovet kochavim b'kilayim. Avalokrimim okede lamayet atatifla. Now, if we assume that amani Rabbi Akiva, the Omer HaMekayim B'Kilayim Loker, the Tanya Menachesh HaMechaper B'Kilayim Loker, was Rabbi Akiva says, no, I don't care if he built a fence around the field, would also be Loker. Af HaMekayim, my time with Rabbi Akiva, Omer HaKros Shotchon Lo Tizra Kilayim, in Leil Zorea HaMekayim Minayat HaMelo Lo Kilayim, Ve'ilu Lemuhute Tifla, he's being matir, so that's right, Rav Nachman. Mapitom, lo, amani Rabbanani. Ah, because Akra is getting on Tavi Bechinam. The problem of here is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds it, and the Matat Chinam is Asur. Nonetheless, for purposes of Akira, it's Mutar. But that's why it doesn't mention building a wall, because that would be also to Bechinam. I don't care. So, in Bina Rabbi Yehuda, Nishmal Rabbi Akiva. Lava Ma Rabbi Rasit, and the Matat Chinam, nonetheless. So that would be true. Lemut Rabbi Akiva also. Avagav Dami Rabbi Akiva Mekayim Bikalayim Loke. Lemut Tifla Shaper Dami, and that's it. I don't want to hear any more about it. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle.
So here we are. Aveda Zora Daf Samach Gimel Amud. Now, just to reconstruct what has happened here, because we're going to continue questioning this issue. The Maisa that we began with was that there were people from Beirav Yanai who used to borrow Perish Shvias from Aniyim during Shvias. When those Perish were eaten, they were able to pay back the Aniyim Mitzray Shvias during the Shminis year. And since the Paris were no longer extant, at that point it wasn't considered to be halipin, an exchange for Dmei Shvias, for Paris Shvias. Had it been an exchange, it would have been a problem because it was already after the Zman HaBiyur, it would have asered the Paris. And we extended that to be true, Lagabe the Din of Etznan Zonah. We went into the Sugya, if somebody makes a deal with the Zonah, gives her the money in advance, or pays her later, that it's not considered to be an exchange of services. The same thing over here is true. It's not considered to be an exchange for perishvias. I want to just push down the button there because it's making a lot of noise. No, on the white box, yeah.
Can one exchange perishvias? Can the only sell perishvias, perishvias picked up and get cash for it?
No, we're not. once the spheres are usur, then of course you can't, the money becomes usur. The operating issue over here is the tfisa, which is what we were in the middle of talking, that's how we got onto this. We were talking about the din of being paid for working or for exchanging as something that is usur. And that's how we started discussing this, which doesn't seem to have anything much to do with Masechet Avodah Zarah. But because our whole perek deals with the relationship of being paid for work in Isser, or for exchanging something of Isser for something of Heter, it's Chalifa Isser, in cases where it's Tofes as Isura, and we have two cases like that, one is Shvius and one is Avodah Zarah. So we got to discuss the Shvius as well in that context, and we were talking about the case of Rabbi Yanai, and yesterday we explained that the situation with the Etnan Zonah would have been talking about the only case where it's a chiddush, or where it works, is where he makes a deal with her to say that he's giving her this money that's going to become hers after she provides her services, but if she really needs it, then she can have it in advance. And she was makrivit before. And the chiddush that the bride was coming to tell us was that even though he told her originally that it's not going to be yours until you provide me your services, but since he then says, but if you really need it, it's okay to take it now, so that means that essentially it's a gift unrelated to her znut, and it's not considered to be a tnan zonah, as long as it wasn't there at the time that she actually did sleep with him. And here too is the same idea back to the Arabiana, as long as the Pharaoh were not there at the time that he was paying back the Aniyin, so it turns out that it's not Khalifin for Israel. That's where we were up to. Now today the Gemara wants to discuss, refine a little bit, this concept of it's not being Khalifin when it's not extant. And the question is, did it have to really be not extant, which is what we said that she went ahead and brought this gift as a korban, so that by the time he actually does sleep with the Zayna, the thing is no longer here. There's nothing to become Osir. And our question today is, and we're up to Dav Samach Gimel Amud Aleph Boy Reb Oshia. So our question over here would be, about 10 lines down, Kodma Igdishato Mav. What about if she didn't actually bring it as a korban, but she, before she went ahead and slept with him, she gave it to Hegdish already. So she was magdishit. Now, what's the thing? Kivan diyomar mar amirato legavoa ke nisirato lehedyot, kemanda akrivate dami. Do we say that since the general rule is that the moment that a person says that something is kodesh, or is magdish something, that's the equivalent of having, in a non-kodesh situation, actually given it over into the rishus of the other person? So Mamela, there's nothing over here to answer, because it's not hers anymore that the Yisroel can be chal on it. It's now Hegdish's. It's as if it's something else completely. Or do we say, Odil Mahashta Miyahakoi V'yisei V'enes? Do we say, but the bottom line is that it's extend, and the relationship was to the object, not to the ownership. In which case, if this object has now become an exchange for sexual services, it's usur for the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't matter that it was owned l'maisa by the Beis HaMikdash at the time. So the Gemara wants to bring a solution to this question from the simple lashon that we have, the tipshav min Rabbi Eliezer. I mean, look, what did Rabbi Eliezer say the case was? The Omer Rabbi Eliezer shekadma v'hikriv vato. So Rabbi Eliezer says the case was that she actually had brought this thing to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban before she had provided the service for which it was given. Mashma, that if she had only been magdish to the Beis HaMikdash, he would not have had a solution to the problem. And in that case, it would have become usur be'etnan, even though it wasn't technically owned by her, because amirato legavoa, namely to say, areza kodesh lit, is the equivalent of giving it over. So you see that Rabbi Eliezer himself, the way he formulates the answer to explain the chiddush of etnan, is essentially telling us that it wouldn't have been enough just to be magdish. She actually had to bring it. So there's your answer. Says, well, you don't understand. What I was asking, I'm also intelligent enough to see what Rebbe Eliezer said. What I'm asking is, why did Rebbe Eliezer say it? Lo, the Rebbe Eliezer gufe kamibayle. That's what I want to know. Ma. Mipshe pshitele Rebbe Eliezer, dikrivato davka, aval higdishato lo, daite bishat biyam. Is it something that is indeed obvious to Rebbe Eliezer that when he said hakrava, that he meant only if it was actually brought as a korban, then it doesn't become osir as etnan. But had she been magdisha, then it still would have been asur because it was extant at the time that she provides him her services. Maybe he just took a case that had no complication, that it was actually gone. She had brought it as a korban. But Higdishato, he wasn't really sure, that's why he didn't want to say it. So maybe Misakale. Maybe he himself wasn't quite sure what the din would have been had she been Magdishit. And that's why he didn't want to get into it. So he left that issue open. How can you bring a raya that he's telling us specifically that that's halacha? Take that. We don't really have a way of proving what Rebbe Eliezer Shita was here. Now, we continue on to say that if he first had slept with her and then pays her for the service, that is mutar. Here we have a problem. The Braita says that someone who pays for the services of a zayna, even 3 years later, the etnam is still an etnam. And she cannot bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. How do you explain that? Here it says, as long as she was paid later, mashmah at any time later. Here it says, yeah, even 3 years later, it's still considered to be payment. What's the difference how much time elapses? The question is, what is the transaction? If it's a transaction for sexual services, that's not. Omre Matum, Bar Yitzchak, Omre Chisim Okasha. There's actually not a problem. It depends on the way that we phrase the transaction. And you'll note, of course, the gradual similarity of our sugya to the case in the Chumash. In one case, he says, look, here is a tle. I'm going to give you this tle in exchange for your services. And hadi amala hitba'ali betle stan. In the other cases, he says, I will pay you for your services, and what I will pay is a tleh. So now what we're assuming is, and we're going to attack that assumption in a moment, that if he promises to bring a tleh, then she does not have any kinyanim on this tleh. In which case, the time that he pays up, it's not an exchange. It's payment of a debt. What do we care what the debt was for? But it's not a direct exchange for services. I'm not concerned how it is that so-and-so owes me money. He owes me money. Masha'in came. If he sets aside the tleh and he said, this is your tleh in exchange for your services, then that means that there's automatically a din of etnan on the tleh. Asks the Gemara, I don't understand. What is this? A moral issue? It's a technical issue. Is this or is this not hers in exchange for her services? The fact that I promise her tlezeh, what's the difference? You can't enforce that in court. There's no mishicha, there's no kinyan. What are we talking about over here? If he said tlezeh, so my hobby, who cares? Hamechusar mishicha, as long as she doesn't actually make a kinyan on it, then there's no real commitment, chalos, in it, that commitment should mean some type of balus of exchange that should turn it into specifically an etnan. No, money is not the problem. It's the object only that's the problem. So it's okay. Are you concerned? You're concerned for the unfairness to prostitutes. How are they supposed to bring carbonas? There was, in fact, a public demonstration about this issue, and they called it Prostitutional Pride Day, in which everybody said, how is it that we can't bring carbonas to Beis HaMikdash? And after all, we're the oldest profession, and so on and so forth. And there's a lot of public outrage, and they decided that if she makes money, she can use this money to buy a carbon for the Beis HaMikdash, and that would be fine. So and once they heard that, the whole thing fell apart, and there was no more public.
So these things, there are the end of course to do it, right? And so that you can finish it, or it seems to be simple, because it's directed to the priests.
Well, we don't have priests.
No.
All right, okay, we'll manage. So asks the Gemara, if there's no Mashiach, what type of kinyan are we talking about over here? Says the Gemara, well, maybe it's talking about a zona avodat kochavim. Maybe it's talking about a non-Jewish zona. So the din of Mashiach is a special halacha that is said only by Jews. And by a goya, there would be not, because it says, "Oknei miyat amitecha." Amitecha means your friend, those who is your reim b'mitzvahs. Over here, since we're talking about an akum, there's no Mashiach. And the mela, the exchange, is an exchange directly. The truth is that this is a very problematic issue, as is brought up by a lot of the akronim, that there does not seem to be limitations of this kind for payment of services. It was when you had the dinner of a poel that owes money and so on. I mean, then it's completely different. We'll see. We're getting into this sugya coming up. Okay, but in any event, since there was over here only a promise, so if it would have been a Jew, it wouldn't have made a difference. But since the Gabi the Goya was an exchange, so Nanela, there it becomes Aser. Or, I could tell you another pshat, Vibaisema, the Yaylon, the Zonah Yisraelit. It's talking about a Jewish Zonah. So, you ask, how is she paying, huh? So it's talking about Kigod de Kreba Chatzera. The Tele is in her yard. And so, Mamela, the moment that she is allowed to be kind of that Tele because she has fulfilled her part of the deal, the Tele accrues to her automatically because it's in her rishus. Says, come on, but then that doesn't make any sense. So then, if it's in her yard, so then the Kreba Chatzera, Bole Avachakach, Latanla. What do you mean? You say, he sleeps with her, and then he gives it to her. There is no and then. You're telling me now that it's in her yard. So what's the child to say? She was kainit immediately, no? I mean, isn't that the whole point of it's being in the yard? So her kanyala? You know what? The case has got to be like this. The case is that he makes the, and look at this. This is straight out from the Chumash. He makes the tefillah on a perdita. He doesn't pay her with the tefillah. He makes a deal to say, if I bring you money up until such a day, so then fine, then you accept the money.
I'll take the
tefillah
back.
Right now I don't have cash. So I'm going to leave this by you, and that'll be your security. If I don't show up, then you have a kinyan in it. Okay, so this is a mortgage basically on the tefillah itself. Yeah, so therefore, we have over here a situation in which it's indeed liachazman, but nonetheless, we have the case of kinyan, and if it turns out that he doesn't show up.
This is the opposite of what Yehuda does.
Yeah. he wanted to pay with the tefillah. Yeah. Most of the pshashas. Now, Reb Sheshes went back to the Reb Yanai. Reb Yanai was, as we said, was matir, taking payer shvias during Shemitah, completing those payers, and paying back the next year to the Adniyim, so that then it would not be viewed as an exchange for payer shvias. It would be viewed as payment of a debt with money that's holding, and there's no problem about looking at it as chalipei shvias. Reb Sheshes had a problem with this. Why? Because it says, Omer Adam lechamarav lepoalav, lechu ve'ichlu bediner zeh, tzeu ushtu bediner zeh. Somebody can say, okay, look, here's a dollar. This dollar can be used for you to buy at the store, whatever, it's not my business what you buy, and you can pay up using this dollar. Then it's not his business what they buy. They know, for sheish, lo mishum shviz, lo mishum meiser, lo mishum yayin nesach. So then it's not his business. They go and they use it to buy pair of shviz from somebody that is also to have from. You're not allowed to give the made pair of shviz to someone who isn't zahir.
if this person isn't Zohar, if you would think that it's like he's giving my dollar to that, but no, it's not considered to be that. And not Mishum Yayin. They want to go ahead, and they want to buy, they're going, and they want to buy Yayin Nesach with this. We don't look at it as if the guy who's putting aside the dollar bought the Yayin Nesach and is now being nene by paying off with the Yayin Nesach that he bought. V'lo Mishum Ma'aseh. And if these Palalim over here are Amei Ha'aretz, so it's not his business if they go ahead and they buy something that isn't Meiser, and then it's going to be considered that he gave them things that isn't Meiser. That's not his business. Because once he set aside the dollar, it's up to them. They can basically... It's not a problem. He just set aside the money. And he was Mesalik himself. On the other hand, Ima Marlehem, Tse'u V'ichlu Vani Horeah, if he says, look, you guys can go ahead and you eat what you want. I'll pay the bill. Yeah, I'll pay the bill at the end. You go and drink whatever you want, and I'll pay the bill. Then you have a problem. Then you have cheshish mishum shviyas, mishum meiser, mishum yayin nesach. So why is that? Apparently because when somebody pays back something later on, Alma, apparently, the point over here is that it's viewed that what it is that he's paying back is basically the iser that he's paying for. So that means that in your case, when you're paying back an pair of shviyas that are usser at that point, it should be the same thing as paying back for the yayinasa, paying back for the unmeister payers. And it looks, it's the same as Khalifa Yisr, essentially. So how did you have a right to do that? Why is it any different than the Balabais is going to pay back afterwards? You're also saying, well, I'm paying back afterwards. What's the difference? By the time I'm paying back, it's not no longer here. They already ate it. So what? You see that it's considered to be Khalifa Yisr? So, Achananiki Kapar, the Meisura Kapar. Tirgama Rav Chista explained that no. The case over here is bechenvani hamakifo de mishtaabedle de kivan de urchelu kufe koni leidiner gabe. Here we're talking about a storekeeper with whom he has a credit account. So he always buys in this makola, he always buys, writes it down on his account. Since that's the case, the balabayit, from the time that the makolet keeper gives over the wine or the peiros of Isser, the shviyas, the meiser peiros, into the hands of the poel, there's already a shibud based on his credit account on this man. In which case, he therefore is looked at as paying back that Isser at the time, you see. But if it wouldn't have been for that particular case where he had an account, then it wouldn't have been a problem. And since over here there's nothing that is specifically meshubit at the moment that he took the parish fees, so it becomes a loan bialma. A loan bialma, when I pay back, what's the difference what it was a loan for at this time? Now I'm paying it back? Asks the Gemara, wait a second. So then what are you claiming? You're claiming Abu Chenvani she'eno mekifo. He wouldn't have such a credit account by the Chenvani. So what would be the din? And he says, I'll pay it back, right? So you're saying, in that case, it would have been mutter. Because you, Rabbi Yanai, are claiming that when you pay back something later, even though at the time it was iser, but right now you're paying it back as a debt, that's not a problem, just like the parishion, this is not a problem. So then isn't it a very funny way to construct the price? I mean, why did it say over here, the difference is whether he gave him a dollar and said, look, it's not my business what you want to do, but you can use this for the food that I owe you. Or if he goes to the kolet, and then it's usher. You could have made a much more subtle distinction. You could have said, in any case where he tells him to go to a makolet, it depends. If he has a credit account in the makolet, so then it's usher. And if he just promises to pay back, but he doesn't have a credit account, it's mutter. Isn't that a much bigger chiddush than saying, I already left the dollar here, and it's out of my reshus, so you can use it what you want? Since it doesn't make that distinction, the mashmaut is that there is no such distinction.
And that accredited account or non-credited account, it would always be us. It's a paid back the chenveni. And the only reason it was mutter is because you left the dollar and you said, look, I don't care what it is. But over here, the Veira Bianai, you do have the dollar. You didn't give the dollar away. You're coming back a year later to pay back for something which is Isser, and that's considered to be Chalifin, basically. Chalifa Isser. So how do you explain it now? Let's see that inside. Well, let's see that inside. What are you going to tell me? That a storekeeper, where he doesn't have account, is what? It's mutter? Then it would be okay. So if that's the case, instead of looking around for a case where you could find that it's mutter, and the only case you could come up with was saying that he left the dollar and he said, now you guys go out and do what you want. You could have said a distinction that was much more subtle. And the very same case of the makolet could also have been found a case of heter. All you had to do was say, when do I say that such an arrangement is prohibited in the makolet? It's dafke b'chedveni hamekifo. That's only when the storekeeper has an account with him, and therefore, on the basis of that account, he's mishtabedle. So it's viewed as if the balabayit, from the time that the chenveni gave the fruit of Isser, or gave the wine of Isser, from that moment, the money of the balabayit was already in the hands of the chenveni in terms of the shibut. And therefore it's chalipi. Avos chenvanisha ein magifo, where such an arrangement doesn't exist, and now the chenveni's got to go out and say, listen, some guys came in here and I relied on them that you were going to pay. You owe me such and such amount of money. And then the guy, okay, I owe you the money, I'll pay. Then it's payment of a debt, and it's not a problem. And then it would be mutter. Now that is a much bigger chiddush than saying, the guy throws the dollar on the ground and says you can use this dollar. So memela, it seems that this is not a distinction. Basically. I mean, that's what I mean. Like over here, this would be a chenveni hamekifo. You know, that's a chenveni hamekifo. It depends on your. No. Depends on your relationship with the man, not whether you phone in. If you Tony knows you and you often buy from him. Tony, where are you, actually? You're supposed to start showing up for Daf Yomi, you promised. So if... I'm hoping he's listening. So if Tony knows you and he has an account that he, when you come in, he writes it down on your number and so on and so forth, so then it would be awesome. But if he doesn't have such an arrangement with you, so then it's mutter. Because then he's going to go and he's going to say, Meisha, you know, I'm sure you're a trustworthy man, I need some money from you. Furthermore, and anyway, I'll tell you something, it isn't even true. It's not just that I'm going to prove it from the fact that he didn't make such a distinction. It's logically not true. I'll show you. You're telling me that chenveni she'ein mekifo, that if he doesn't have an account, that there is no chalot of a she'ibud against the person that takes the food or that had agreed to pay for the food. I'll prove to you that that's wrong. Because ha'amar rava, ha'omer l'chaveiro, a guy says, take money leploni, you give $100 to so-and-so, and kol nitsa'i, all of my property will belong to you. Now you say, what kind of king is that? I'm giving money to somebody else, and this guy, in exchange for my giving money to somebody else, is going to say that I have a kinyan on his property? Where's there a kinyan like that? Says Rav, there's a very obvious kinyan like that. Absolutely. It's called the kinyan of an aray. Do we recognize the concept of a guarantor? Absolutely. Well, how does a guarantor become a guarantor? He says, I want you to give a $100 loan to so-and-so, and I will be meshabed my nechasim. From there you see that it's possible to create a kinyan and a lien on the basis of my giving somebody else in your plus, even though between us nothing is transferred. That's an amazing idea. You'll remember from Kiddushin we used this to prove that you could be Makadosh a woman in the same way. That's Midin Arei. So therefore, I don't understand what you're talking about. Because this is a classic case of a Din Arei, isn't it? You're telling the Arei in this case was Tony.
The Bala Makolet. You're telling him, you give this stuff to my worker, and I will be Mishubad to you. That's what you're saying. So in that case, what's the difference whether you have a credit account or you don't have a credit account? Me din or if you're Mishubad to him.
And I if you give Tony a painting, or how does that...
Tony would never take one of your paintings, you know that. Yes.
Yeah.
So even your svara doesn't make any sense. Therefore, says Rava, forget about it. This approach is meaningless. Eloma Rava Loshna Makifo, Loshna Shein Makifo. The point over here has nothing to do with having credit accounts in a makolet. The point over here is that Apa Gav de Misha Bedle, Kivan de Lo Miyache Chibud Lo Mitzah. The point is that there's nothing on which the Shibud is miuchat. You're saying he has a lien against you. You're right. He has a lien against you. And he'll have that lien against you whether or not you have a normal credit account. Makes absolutely no difference. However, since nothing was set aside for the purpose, it's not considered to be a khalifa. That's the point. And the only time that we would have a problem would be if there were something that was set aside. And where would that be? In a case, we're saying over here that it's usher. When would it be usher? The only case it would be usher, alahacha. Why does the bride say that? Oh, you better be careful, because if he takes Yain Nesef, it's going to be like you're giving him Yain Nesef. Or if he takes mice, things that are on mice, and it's going to be your fault, so on. I'll tell you, I'm refuqued. The case over here is that he actually brings in a dinner into the Chenveni before he sends these guys. And he says, look, I'm setting aside money. You keep this money for me. Whenever anybody comes in, it says, he gives you the code, put it down on account such and such. You take it off my money. Now, in that case, you've got a serious problem. Because then, since he'd already given him the money, at each point we view it that he actually had purchased it, and now it's being given from him directly, paying up his debts with Yain Esef. That's a whole different issue. Has nothing to do with the case of Rav Yama. I said over this whole thing that that's got to be what it's talking about, that you actually gave the money to the Chenveni. And he asked me, and I was pretty shocked, he asked me a very good question. He said, if that's the case, the language, it doesn't make any sense. Because it says over here, Tzu v'ichlu, Tzu v'shitu, v'ani poreya. Tzu v'ichlu, Tzu v'shitu, v'ani mechashev mi boy. The point over here would have to be that not, according to the way you're reading it, it's that the money was already there, and therefore what he's actually saying is, it will be deducted from my cheshbon, right? Because I already put it up in advance. But the way that it says it in the Braisa was, you guys go and eat and I'll pay up. That's not the point. I've already paid up. The way you're describing it, you should have said it, and I'll have it taken out of my payment. So how do you fit that in? I just don't understand the language. Oh my lady, he said to him, yeah, that's a good question. And read it. To me, Tzuvani Mechashev. That already, I mean, that's the derech, because the ratio began that way. I don't see that as such a problem. Ravashi Amar. Ravashi says, no, the simplest case would be that the Balabai, in the case where it's usher, it's not Stam that he said, you go in. It's that he went through the checkout counter for them, and he gives it to them. So in such a case, if he goes to the checkout counter, then he was not restraining it. Doesn't matter if he's buying it for somebody else. But the bottom line is, technically speaking, he went through the checkout counter, he pays, and now he gives. So if he pays and he gives, that means he's literally giving over Isser B'Yadayim, right? And if he's giving over Isser B'Yadayim, then obviously we have an impossible problem. But it has nothing to do with the situation of the Vera B'Yadayim. So it's talking about Kagon Shinatav and Atan Biyad. Amalei Rabbi Yemel or Rabbi Ashi. How do you fit that in? Yachi Adatani Tzuvich Lu Tzuvich Tu. What do you mean? Go out and get. I mean, it's you go out and buy. Now you're telling me that he did the buying. So you should say, Tulu, here, have this vehicle. Tulu, here, have this Ushtu. What's this Tulu? Nobody's Tulu anywhere. They're sitting there waiting by the checkout counter. You should be saying, okay, here, here's your food. So, I mean, obviously the case couldn't be that he's actually giving it to them. Change it a little bit. Read it, Tulu vehicle, instead of Tulu vehicle. Tulu Ushtu. Yosef Reb Nachman Ulov Avimi Bar Papi, the Yosef Reb Chiya Bar Ami Gabayu. Now Reb Nachman and Ulov and Avimi Bar Papi were sitting discussing something, and Reb Chiya Bar Ami was sitting next to them. Now Tosis points out that there's something very strange about this case, because every place in Shas where we have this formula, the person who was sitting next to them is the one who talks, and that's why he's mentioned. And in this case, he doesn't know about his mouth. So who cares who was sitting next to him? And Tosfos explains that this is actually part of a story. The rest of the story, indeed, is brought in Ksuvos. The Gemara doesn't tell you over the whole story. In the story in Ksuvos, we have exactly the same people, and there, Reb Chiya Bar Ami does open his mouth and says the Chiddush. However, since in the context of that conversation there were other things that were mentioned, the Gemara isn't interested in giving you over the whole story each time something is brought. So it splits it up, each thing in its place where it's nogea. But it doesn't change the mandiyamim each place that it's nogea. So we keep the tzura of who was there in order to recreate the circumstance. And then we tell you whatever was nogea in this particular mesechta. So it's an insight into the derech of the Gemara. So in any event, there he was, the Kamibayalu, they were wondering what the din would be if Sakro Lishbor B'yayinessa. There's a guy who was interested in smashing and pouring out some barrels of Yayinessa. He wasn't satisfied with the quality, and he needs workers to break open barrels, pour out the wine. And he wants to hire a Jew to do this. Ma.
Destroy it.
So ma. Do we? There's a very interesting chapter of the Yagi Lachara, destroying it in the mitzvahs. What's the problem? The problem is that the moment that he makes that deal with you, you don't want that wine to be damaged, because then you'll lose your income. Let's say he's paying you $1 a barrel to break it and pour out the wine. So now if somebody else would come and would break it, you say, hey, get out of here. This is my business. So in other words, until such time as you break it, you're raised at the kiyum yayin effort, essentially. So that's our question. So then in that case, what you're really doing is part of what you're doing is protecting the wine as much time as you get to it to pour it out. So mi amrina kivin the road sebiki umo asur. Do we say that this sachar is the sachar of working with the ayinetta positively? Because l'maisa, it was predicated on your desire for ayinetta, in which case you're working with ayinetta. Or do we say that, but the bottom line is that the sachar that you're being paid for is limu'ute tifla, is to make tifla. Tifla is disgusting things, low class things. So we always refer, usually it has to do with improper sexual advance, tifla. But we're using it over here because we always view znus for Avodah Zarah the same as znus in the literal sense. So we call anything that has to do with Avodah Zarah that same type of prurience. In English, you call it prurience. Right? And that's just the sense of the emptiness of it. So kolamu ute tifla, whatever you do in the world that's mamayat such things, chakra dummy is a good thing. And the man was certainly not going to be kainase the money that you're making off of this deal.
In Yiddish, you call the churches tifla.
The tifla, yeah. Yes. You always call it. In Yiddish, it's always called the tifla. You know, based on the way that Chazal used. So Amr of Nachman, what do you mean? Will we been asked a guy to go and have a wonderful job destroying Avodah Zarah? Sounds to me like a fantastic idea, now that you mention it. Okay, tomorrow we'll see the rather long question that we have now, so we'll wait for tomorrow.